the scriptures with you that are not in the book.
So you may need to write these down. But there's plenty of places for notes, so you can write. John chapter 14 and verse 12. John chapter 14 and verse 12. I used to read this scripture and think this was crazy. I still think it's a bit crazy. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says this, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father." Crazy verse. Anyone who has faith in Jesus will do what he has been doing. Wave to me if you have faith in Jesus. Then tell your neighbor, you will do what Jesus did.
You will do what Jesus did.
Tell your other neighbor. Now tell your neighbor, I will do what Jesus did.
I will do what Jesus did.
It's crazy. It's crazy. The reason that we have a problem, or at least the reason I had a problem with this verse, for many, many years, I believed that Jesus did his miracles because he was and is the Son of God. But then I realized that is untrue. Jesus did his miracles because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now that changes everything. Because if we are also filled with the Holy Spirit, then we also can do the same things. Because he's the same Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God himself. Amen?
Amen?
You see, if we have the mindset, oh, well, of course Jesus could do that because that was Jesus. And Jesus can do anything. Then we will disqualify ourselves from ever thinking that we could possibly do what Jesus did. But if we believe that the same Spirit that was in Jesus is the same Spirit who is in us, the Spirit of Jesus is in us, then of course we can do the same things that Jesus did because he's the same Spirit. Do you understand? And for me this was a huge breakthrough, very important for me to appreciate. Actually, of course it is possible. And Jesus said so himself, you will do so. Tell your neighbor again, I will do what Jesus did. I will do even greater things. This is amazing. This is the scripture. Is this true?
Yes.
So how do we do it? Another scripture for you. John chapter 13 and verse 15. I have set you an example. This is Jesus again talking to his disciples. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you.
Amen.
And in fact, I know this was in the context of washing feet. That's another thing we don't do very often. That's a bit surprising. Jesus commanded us to wash feet, but we don't do it. Here's another scripture for you. Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. If we are trained, then we will be like Jesus. If we want to know how to heal the sick, look at what Jesus did. Would you agree?
Yes.
And Here is another big surprise. Jesus actually never prayed for the sick. Does that surprise you? And he never told us to pray for the sick. Does that mean that prayer is wrong? No, of course not. Of course we can pray. But it's not necessary. It's not always necessary. And in fact, it can be a trap. I mean, you've just seen people healed and we didn't pray. We just laid hands. Do you see? Why is it a trap? It's potentially a trap. And I tell you why. Because one day I was doing a school of healing in Nepal, and one pastor came to me afterwards and he said, "Oh, Pastor, I thought I had to pray a long time before someone would be healed." I said, "Pastor, you are not putting your faith in Jesus, you are putting your faith in prayer." Maybe a subtle difference, but you see what has happened. He is saying, I have to do this long prayer. That works. Do you see? Yes. Nothing wrong with prayer. Nothing wrong with long prayer. And it's important that we do that. And in fact, we can pray for the sick because James chapter 5 tells us to do so. But Jesus, if Jesus is our example, then we can learn a lot by looking at what he did. The main thing that Jesus did was to lay hands. In fact, I've got a list here of things that Jesus did. He laid hands. He just touched people. He declared, or he spoke, healing. He commanded people to do something, like get up and go home, pick up your mat, those kind of things. He commanded people to do something. In fact, we did this quite recently. There was a sick person in a school of healing that we were doing recently, and we just said, get up, go home. And they were completely healed. We never laid hands on them or anything. We just told them to do something, and they did it. Sometimes he touched the sick part. That's something we will practice later on this morning. We will sew and lay hands on the sick part. So maybe eyes. Yes, last night when we were healing eyes, almost all the time I was laying hands on the eyes. And they were healed by God's grace. That's just wonderful. And then sometimes he told them to do strange things. These are what I call faith triggers. If I have time, I will explain that a little bit later on. I'll try and do that. But he told people to, like, go and wash in a pool, or go and show yourselves to the priests. He would say things like that. Then why did he say that? But he told people to do some funny things. Sometimes he spoke to the sick part. So one time he said to the ears, "Be opened." Now, if the ears were deaf, the man was deaf, the ears could not hear. So what's going on? He's speaking in the spirit. When he speaks, you see, when our words have spiritual power, because we are filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, what we don't appreciate is how powerful our words are. Because we are full of the Spirit, then our words have spiritual power. And when we speak in the spirit, things happen. So you can say to someone, in fact, we had one man who he had a heart condition, and he was out for unconscious for about half an hour without his blood going. He should have died. But they took him into the hospital, and he was in a coma. They put him on life support, and we went into minister healing to him when he was still in a coma, completely out of it. And we ministered healing to him, and he, by God's grace, he came back to life and was healed. And he said afterwards, he knew everything that was happening, even though he was completely unconscious. He knew that we were there ministering healing. So there is great power in our words. And Jesus spoke to the deaf ears and said, "Be opened." We can do the same thing. Sometimes there was a delay. Sometimes this is another thing that we don't need to be afraid of. You know, we are always wanting miracles to happen instantly. And we lay hands on something and someone and they don't get immediate healing, we say, oh, it didn't work. God didn't use me. Now, what has just happened? The devil has whispered in your ear, telling you that he doesn't use you, you are no good. But actually, what is going to happen is that person, something must happen. Do you remember that scripture? Something must happen. So we can't say nothing happened. Of course, we may not see it, but something must happen. So therefore, we put our faith in the scripture and say, no, something must happen. And if the person who doesn't yet instantly receive their healing is going home saying, well, nothing happened, that was no good, then guess what happens? They don't get better. But if they go home saying, well, something must happen, something must happen, something must happen. What, you see the difference? And of course what happens is that person then will go home saying, okay, I'm going to go on claiming something must happen until it happens. And of course that is the difference. One man I know, he had a motorcycle accident and he was in a wheelchair for 3 years. Every time he came to church, he got someone to lay hands on him. He went to 180 meetings and nothing seemed to happen. Number 181, he was instantly healed. Wow. Are you willing to be that persevering? Because you're believing something must happen. I'm amazed at that level of faith. Yeah, perseverance actually requires faith. And faith builds perseverance. So the two go hand in hand. And sometimes we hold on for things. I don't usually share this, but I will share this. For many years I had hemorrhoids, and they were very painful, and it meant that I couldn't really travel much, and I thought it would be the end of my international ministry. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and nothing seemed to change, and it was just so painful. And then one day I woke up, gone. Why was that? I think God was just testing my faith. Am I willing to press in? Hold on, no, I'm going to be healed. I know another lady who the doctors say is dying of an unusual disease, but she loves Jesus and she's holding on. I'm going to get it. I tell you, every time I go to her, just to fellowship with her, I don't even pray for her much anymore. I come away with my spirit singing. That lady's got faith. She's, she's very sick, and the doctors say she's going to die, but she doesn't believe that. She's holding on. And of course, she gets her down days, she gets depressed, and then she calls, oh, come, John, I'm feeling low. And we come and we have a talk, and I say, look, lady, you've got faith like you wouldn't believe. And she gets so encouraged, and we have a really good God time together. She's holding on. Are we willing to, when it doesn't happen instantly, are we going to hold on? Yeah. Because it doesn't always happen instantly. It didn't always happen instantly with Jesus. The classic one for me is when he the 10 lepers who came to him. And they shouted to him because they were lepers, they couldn't come close. And Jesus was walking along the road and these lepers shouted out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. I think they expected him to go and lay hands on them because he'd already laid hands on one leper and he was healed. And he says, go show yourselves to the priests. And then he goes on walking. And I think that the lepers are standing there going, that was a waste of time. Just, I still have leprosy. How can I go and show myself to the priests? I think they started this big argument. And then one of them said, well, why don't we just do what he said? I can imagine that man being persecuted. Mean do what he said? We still are sick. Why? How can we go and show ourselves? You can imagine the argument, can't you? But finally he persuaded them. And they went, and as they went, the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. And that one who persuaded them, he went back to Jesus and said, thank you, thank you. But you see, my point is this, when they walked away from Jesus, nothing had changed. All they had was a word from Jesus. Go and do that. That's all they had. He didn't lay hands or anything. Just told them, go and do that. And they're going, what's with that? But we've seen similar things. By God's grace. Hallelujah. There's a few other things that he did, but perhaps the most important, and I don't think we'll have time to do this today, is listening to the Spirit. We need to listen to the Spirit. God is telling me to do that now. Okay, let's do that now. What time are we finishing? We'll just do what we have time to do. I want you to turn to page 14 in your book. Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. He came down into an argument and he asked what was happening, and they said the man brought his son. His son had what looked like epilepsy. He was foaming at the mouth, he would roll around, he would try and throw himself into the fire. He was very sick. And the man realized he had a demon, and he brought the boy to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't cast it out. And Jesus, when he saw the crowd running, he said quickly to the boy, he said, deaf and dumb spirit, come out of him. My question is, how did Jesus know that was a deaf and dumb spirit? It didn't look like that. It looked like epilepsy or something else. But Jesus knew by the Holy Spirit. And that, whenever, you know, if you ask the question, why did Jesus do this? Why did he do that? One blind man came to Jesus when Jesus was walking on the road to Jericho, and he was a blind beggar, and Jesus just simply said to him, your faith has made you well. That's all he said to him. Your faith has made you well. It wasn't quite, because he asked him, what do you want the Lord to do? And he said, I want to see. And Jesus said, your faith has made you well. And so he was healed by a word. Then there was another blind man, and Jesus told him to go down to the pool of Siloam, and go down to the pool of Siloam and wash. And when he went down, and that was quite a long journey for a man who was blind. And he went down and he washed, and when he washed, he came home seeing. And another blind man, they brought to him in the village of Bethsaida, and they brought this blind man and said, can you lay hands on him and heal him? Jesus, the Bible says, took him by the hand and walked out of the village. Maybe, how long does it take to walk out of the village? Maybe 20 minutes, half an hour. And only when they were outside the village, then Jesus laid his hands on him. And then he didn't see fully clearly. He could only see a little bit. But Jesus had to lay his hands again. And he spit on his eyes. Jesus did lots of things to get this man well. And my question is, why? Why did Jesus do these things all differently? Why didn't he use the same method for everyone? And the answer was, because he was hearing from the Holy Spirit what to do. And for us, in the healing ministry, this is key. When we went off to minister to a family yesterday, we were invited to go and minister to a sick family. And on the way, we were praying, Lord, just give us discernment. We want to know what's going on, so we can see. And that's an important prayer. And actually, why I asked you to turn to this page is because man is much more complicated than just a body. The Bible tells us that we are spirit, soul, and body. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then these are not absolutely rigid, but this is what we believe, that in our spirit we have our life, our conscience, our relationships. Some people put wisdom in there as well. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our body is not just our physical body that we walk around in, but it can also include our environment. Because our environment, it says the land can be healed. So our environment can be healed. The water can be healed. We read of water being healed. So the environment that we live in can also be healed. So therefore, the point that I'm making is all of these things can be sick. And all of them can be therefore healed. And why am I telling you these things together? Because I give you an example. A few years ago, my wife Bron and I were doing a school of healing, actually in the town where we were married, 40 years ago. And we were having a lunch, and they brought this lady who was, they said, this lady is very depressed. She looked very depressed. She looked very down. And so we asked how long she'd had this, and in my head I heard the words crushed spirit. Now I'd just been talking with someone 5 minutes earlier about that problem, and I thought that was just an echo from that conversation, so I didn't think any more of it. Then Ron says, I think she has a crushed spirit. Do you see what's happening? We're both picking up from the Holy Spirit that this woman's problem wasn't depression, it was a crushed spirit. And the crushed spirit was causing the depression. Do you see? If we get the spirit healed, then the depression will go away. So what we needed to do was minister healing to the spirit. And as soon as Bron said that, we just spoke to her spirit. I can't remember her name, but let's just say her name was Amanda. And we said, Spirit of Amanda, be healed. We didn't see any change in her, and to be honest, we just went on eating our lunch. But then we was in that same church in the evening, but like this evening we'll be here again, and they brought this girl in, and she was shining. She was just totally healed. Hallelujah. Why? Because we had heard from the Spirit and we had ministered to the real problem. And this is one of the keys that we need to learn as we are ministering healing. The presenting problem, that is the problem that people come with, is very often not the real problem. Last night I ministered to one lady who came and she had a stiff neck. I put my hand on her shoulder and immediately I heard the word worry, anxiety. I said to her, do you worry at all? And she said, oh, I worry a lot. And then I explained to her, you know, worry is a sin. She said, what do you mean? I said, because Jesus told us not to worry. Didn't he say many, many times, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. Tell your neighbor, do not worry. Tell your neighbor, do not worry. If Jesus told us many times not to worry and we worry, then it's a sin, isn't it? You understand? And anyway, she repented. And guess what? She was healed. Isn't that good? But you see, the key was to find the problem. And we can only discern that by the Holy Spirit. And so I want to encourage us to be listening and open. Now, how do we do that? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. How do we know the voice of anyone? How do we know the voice of anyone? By knowing them, by being familiar with them, by being in the house with them, by we know the voice. Yeah. How do we know the voice of Jesus? By being with him. Amen? Spend time with him. You learn his voice. You learn the kinds of things that he says. You learn the way he says things. So, will we make mistakes? Sure. I remember one time I went to teach people about prophecy. And I went to one girl and I said, okay, now I'm going to prophesy, because I'm going to teach you how to prophesy, and I'm just trusting God to give me some words. So I went up to this girl and I said, dear, and what the Lord is saying, this, this, and this. And she's going, wow. And I said, was that right? And she said, yes. And so then I was feeling rather proud of myself, so I turned to the next girl and I did the same for her, and I said, was that right? And she said, no. I said, not any of it? And she said, no. I said, thank you, Lord, you taught me a big lesson. Don't prophesy out of pride. Yeah. Listen to the Lord. Ask the Lord. Usually when I'm ministering to people, unless it's obvious, like an injury, usually I'll be asking the Holy Spirit, what's going on here? What's the real thing? Is there a curse here? Is there an inherited problem? Is there, you know, what's actually happening here? And so he whispers in our head, and that voice in your head, most of the time, the first thing you hear is the Holy Spirit. I know some of you are looking a little bit not sure about that. Do you want to have a practice?
Yes.
Okay, we will practice. What I'm going to ask us to do then, we're going to write something down on a piece of paper. So I want you to find a little piece of paper that you can write on, a little square of paper. You could tear a paper out of your book, but that would be a pity if you've got another. If you've got a phone, you could even write on your phone, actually. That would work. But it's better to write it, because in a moment, just take off a little piece of paper like that. When we are trusting God to speak to us, we are trusting Him in exactly the same way that we trust Him for anything else. Whether we're trusting Him for healing, or trusting Him to be filled with the Spirit, or trusting Him to cast out demons. We can't do these things, but when we go out to do it, trusting God, He does it. He comes through. Is that okay? So when we are trusting God to speak to us, it's exactly the same. We will ask God to speak to us or show us something, and then we trust that the first thing we get is from God. You good with that? And this is that's what happens. And God will put something in your head to write down. Now, the mistake we make is trying to work it out in our head. Some thought or idea or scripture or a picture or a color or something will come to you. And then your brain kicks in and says, that doesn't make sense, or I can't put that down, or why have I thought that, or all of those thoughts actually then try to shut down that first one. Do you understand? Am I getting through? You're getting what I'm saying? The first thing is what you want to write. And we will trust. And we may be wrong. Okay. Does it matter? No. We're practicing. But write down that first thing. And if you think you've got nothing, then that's also something. You see what I'm saying? Because that was the first thing. Oh, I've got nothing. Well, all right. Write it down. So what we're going to do in a moment, I'm just going to give you a few seconds, and we will ask God to give us something to write on our paper. Is that cool? I'm not going to give you very long, because the longer we have, the harder it is. Because then you begin to think about, oh, I haven't got anything to write down. And you get in a stew. But actually, straight away, you had something. And it might be a scripture. It might be a color. It might be just a word, single word. Or even a letter to write. Or a picture you want to draw. One time, when we did this, somebody brought me a picture. Two people brought exactly the same picture. So that was the Holy Spirit. Amen. So is that okay? All right, let's just quickly pray. And we're going to trust God to give us something to write. Thank you, Father, that you are faithful. Thank you that you will give each one of us here something to put on our paper. We want to hear from you, Holy Spirit, and we are trusting you in the name of Jesus. Okay, first thing that you have, write it down. You kids, you can be involved as well. You can do this. In fact, you're better at this than we are, because your brain doesn't get in the way. Anything, just write it down. You to fold your piece of paper. And now ask God who in this room to give that piece of paper to. And God will speak to you and show you someone in this room to give your paper to. You might want to stand up and look around if you're not sure. Thank you. You might want to just look around and see. Given a paper. You want to have a look and tell us what it says? I've been given too many here. I'm blessed here. Does anybody want to read the paper or tell us what has happened yet, sir?
Heals me.
Sorry?
Healed me.
You? Sorry, I was looking at the guy behind you. What are you at the back?
It's a car.
It's a car?
Yeah.
Picture of a car?
No, a word, car, C-A-R.
Oh, okay. Right. What does that mean something for you?
This guy wants to run. That's what it means.
Okay. Good. Is that encouraging?
Yes, we have that.
Praise God. That's great. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, who gave you that piece of paper? You did. Well, then the Holy Spirit has just spoken through you and showed you what he needed to hear. Isn't that encouraging? I think this is amazing. Yeah, yeah. Yes, what did you say, my brother?
Healed
me. And is that encouraging to you? Yeah? Amen. Praise God. Who gave you this one? Yeah? Well done. You just heard from the Holy Spirit. And you've encouraged this brother with a word from God. So you see, you're beginning to see how this works. And anyone else want to share what you've received, that if you've been blessed by it? Okay, care, nice, believe, care. I want to be a great man of God. Okay, that's all good. Lord Jesus, healed me from depression. I think you're writing a testimony there. Okay. Anyone else want to just quickly share? Yes.
Luke 1:37.
There's a scripture for you to remember. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. So that scripture is going to be a founding scripture for your life. And you can write it on your Bible. You can write it on your wall, and just live your life by that scripture. And that's going to change your life. That one scripture. Nothing is impossible with God. And remember that as long as you are with God, something must happen. Amen?
Amen.
Is that encouraging?
Amen.
Yeah, it's great. This is what an exercise that we've just done in prophecy. But why we've done it is just to show you that God can and does speak to each of us through simple words that we hear in our head. And then when we come to minister to the sick, we come and we just silently pray, Lord, what is the problem here? And a word or a thought or an idea comes in our head, and we trust that that's God. And we step out in faith and say to the person, is that the problem? I give you another example, just to show you how it works. One time a lady, I don't know if this will work in Tonga, but it works in English. A lady came, I'm not in Tonga, sorry, Fiji. Why did I say Tonga? I've called him Andrew this morning. I called little Matthew, I called him Peter, which is the name of the dog. So I'm not doing very well with names. So if I introduce my wife as Phyllis, I... Anyway, this lady came to me and she had pain from here or down her leg. In my brain, I thought, oh, she's got sciatic pain, and I'll put my hand on her back. And I was just putting my hand there, and the Lord said in my head, ask about her relationships. And I'm thinking, what has that got to do with it? But I felt quite clearly that that was a word in my head. So I didn't know how to do that. So I just asked her, how are your relationships? And she said, what do you mean? So this wasn't going very well. So I thought, well, I'll start with one person. And I said, how is your relationship with your mother? My mother, she said, she's a pain in the backside. I said, oh. you know, that's not honoring your mother. And the Bible says to honor your mother and father. And what did she have? Pain in the backside. So when she realized she was wrong, she repented. And oh Lord. So, and she, of course, God healed her. Amen. So just that word came into my head. And I thought that was very strange. But I had the courage to speak it out. And that turned out to be God. So that's what Jesus was doing all the time. And it's something that I want to encourage us to develop. And this is something, you know, recognizing the voice of God, something that we get better at the more we do. And I would encourage you. And it requires to take a step of faith. You don't know that that's the problem. You have to take a chance and risk. Somebody said once, faith is spelled risk, R-I-S-K. We have to be willing to take a risk. Actually, if it's God, it's no risk at all. The risk is that it may not be God and we get it wrong. But look, if you can't be willing to get it wrong sometimes, then you will never learn. When we first learn to ride a bicycle, we don't stop when we fall off the first time. You know, if you want to learn to ride a bicycle, you have to try several times until you get it. Is that right? So you don't give up when you fall off. And it's exactly the same learning to listen, hear the voice of God or heal the sick. The more we do, the better we get. And by God's grace, we see that in our own ministry too. Okay, I think it's time for another quick break. Then I've got a very, very important teaching just to share before lunch. Is that cool? Oh, I think we'd better just practice one more time. Sorry, we need to practice. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so now this time, I'm running ahead here, but I'm trying to do 3 days of teaching in 3 hours. This time I want us to practice what we have just done, only with healing. Is that cool?
Yeah.
So this time, instead of getting in pairs, I want us to get into groups of three. Find somebody in your group that needs God to heal them and ask the Holy Spirit for the word. What is the real problem? Yeah? Will you do that? And then ask them. Don't say, you have this problem. Ask them, is this your problem? And if you're wrong, you're wrong. Hey, we're practicing. But if you're right, bang, that person's going to be healed. Amen? Willing to do that?
Yes.
Okay, let's get on our feet and get into groups of three. And let's be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit. Get into a group of three. Find somebody in your group that needs God to do something. There's two pairs over there. You'll need to. And there's one, two, three, four, five over there. So we can make threes. Make threes. Oh, you okay? But the children are just as good at this. Better, actually. The children are better. So remember, ask. The person finds somebody who needs Jesus to heal them. So ask the person, or is anybody in our group that wants healing? And then ask the Holy Spirit, what's the real problem behind that problem? And a word will come. And ask the person if that's true. And then we can see what God does. Then you can lay hands on them, and they will be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you.
After you've ministered healing to your patient, remember always to ask them if they're feeling better and how they are, and then get them to do something which they couldn't do before. So that's what, an important part of the process. So if their shoulder was stiff, get them to put their arm in the air and check themselves out.
Thank you. Yes.
You feeling better? Praise God. What happened?
Then I feel better. Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
Yes. God is good. Well done, guys. That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, God is his kids better than us grown-ups. Yeah, that's lovely. Anyone else feeling better? Anyone this side? Or is the anointing all over the other side? Yeah.
Amen. This word of knowledge, my friend spoke to me this morning. I'm always speaking, and I thank the Holy Spirit that he revealed it to him about myself. And also I wrote down this morning for the Holy Spirit to fill me. Yeah. And then he spoke that word of knowledge to me, so I asked him to pray for me.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you.
What is that?
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
Very encouraging. And well done. You got that right. That was good. Shake my hand. Bless you, man. That's awesome. And God's going to use you powerfully in this ministry. Amen. You excited? Yeah. Very good. Don't be shy. It's all about courage. Yeah. Anyone else? Anyone else been healed? You feel better? Oh, she's laying hands, is she? She's being cheeky. No, I bet you're never cheeky. Not this one. No. Okay. You feeling better?
Yes.
Praise God. What do you want to tell us?
Yes, I've been feeling heavy. I tell you, oh God.
Now you feel like dancing. You don't think so. Praise God. Well done, ladies. That's great. Praise God. Okay, we'll just take another 5 minutes, and then I've got another important teaching.